It doesn't always pay to be funny, especially if you're an up-and-coming stand-up comic and living in New York City. Fed up with decades of measly paychecks and indifferent bookers, some 300 New York comedians formed a group called the New York Comedians Coalition. A couple of weeks ago, the coalition sent a letter to owners of 11 clubs asking for a pay raise if demands are not met. Well, I guess there's a possibility of a strike. So if you're a comedian, give us a call. Tell us what life backstage is really like. What benefits would you like to receive with the help of a comedian's coalition? The number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now to talk about this new coalition is one of its co-founders. Ted Alexandro is a New York City comedian who's appeared on David Letterman, Conan O'Brien, even had his own special on Comedy Central. He's with us by phone from his home in New York. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thanks so much for having me, Neil. It's my pleasure.
So why did you feel the need to start a comedian's coalition?
Well, when you're making the same wage since 1985, there begin to be some rumblings amongst the troops. So there hadn't been a raise in essentially 20 years. We'd been making the same wage. And the owners kind of counted on our kind of desperation for stage time and our willingness to work cheap. But people got fed up. You know, we reached the threshold where we said no more. So myself and Russ Meniv co-founded this group. And the wellspring of support has been incredible.
When you say cheap, how cheap?
Well, on the weekends, the pay has been around between $50 and $60 since 1985 for a weekend spot at a New York club.
During
the week, $10 to $20 for a week for a spot during the week.
And that's not for the headliner.
That's for professional comics that you've seen on Letterman, Leno, Comedy Central. Yeah, these are the top guys in New York, you know, and in most cases in the country. You know, I mean, you're talking about the top comics working the top clubs, who, if they work, let's say, an average of 12 shows a week, gross a little over $20,000 a year.
Which doesn't sound like an awful lot of money.
Not in New York, for certain.
Yeah. So when the coalition got together, I'm sure that there were people there with long enough memory to remember other attempts to organize. I think there was something called the Professional Comedians Association a while ago. None of those worked. What makes you think this one will?
Well, you know what? That's what's been so inspiring about this effort is it includes some of the comics who were involved in that initial effort, and we're really trying to make it a far-reaching coalition. Our initial pursuit is money for, you know, during the week and on the weekends. However, we're trying to make it far-reaching so that it includes comics at the beginning levels who are being taken advantage of, straight through to the top guys who have been around for over 20 years, who have paid their dues, have been on major television shows, and are fed up. So it's really, the unity, as I say, has really been inspiring, and I don't think it's ever been at this level, certainly not in New York City.
Organizing comedians, though, on the face of it, it sounds like nightmarish task.
It can be. It's been challenging at times. You know, I think we're kind of creatures who prefer to be isolated. You know, we like to work as single entities. But again, that's part of what has been so exciting with this, because we're really coming together, people are unified, and it's creating a real kind of kinship amongst the comics in New York, and we're really committed to working with the clubs and trying to solve this.
If you're a comic, if you go to the clubs and watch the comics, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. We'd also appreciate talking to a club owner. The email address, if you'd like to get in touch with us that way, is totn@npr.org. And let's talk to Chesley, who's with us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hi, yes. Talking about difficulty for organizing comics. I mean, sitting down at a table with, 10 or 12 other comics. I mean, everyone literally is a comic at the table. It is quite difficult. But as far as, you know, demands and what would be a decent lifestyle for comics, I think I would be perfectly satisfied with a bejeweled and diamond encrusted house, perhaps, and that would be plenty for me, right? But no, as far as organizing, I mean, it is very difficult. And how do you establish like a base amount of living, and especially, well, some people just aren't as funny as others, and it's like, and you have this kind of hierarchy of comics, you know? It's like, okay, well, Ted's not as funny as Joe over here, but is he still get to be in a union? Like, how does one even begin to organize that?
Mm-hmm. Our effort has, first of all, I am funnier than Joe, but But our effort has really, we're attempting to be inclusive of everyone, from a beginning comic who's doing open mics, straight through to the top guys such as Colin Quinn and Dave Attell, who are on board with our efforts. Mm-hmm. We've had three meetings thus far, two of which were at the AFTRA offices here in New York. One was at the Writers Guild here in New York. And over, we had an average of probably 125 to 150 comics at each meeting. And as I say, 300 total have signed on to be on the coalition. So this is a really strong effort right now. We're really united, and it is inclusive of everybody, no matter what your level. Comics ordinarily are a little bit nitpicky and a little bit maybe, you know, cliquish and snobbish as far as who's funny and who's not. But this is beyond that. This is about respect for our profession, top to bottom.
Chesley, do you play in front of brick walls there in Baton Rouge?
That I do, and there's New Orleans as well, because it's only about 40 minutes away, and you know, and as often as possible. And in the open mic, there's definitely advantage being taken. I mean, people come in, week out for 6-7 months at a time, and they don't see much at all. And going and performing at various local venues is just, you know, there's not really a large viable market to even support amateur comics to live on. It's just kind of an income supplement and just, you know, a good way to practice until you can go to a larger place like New York or any other larger place where there is a larger comedy scene to perform.
Well, and if you believe what we've been hearing from Ted Alexander, till you can graduate and be exploited by professionals.
That's right. It's interesting, Neil, because Chesley makes a very good point. Because of the way that we come up as comedians, in the very beginning, we're doing shows for free. Some comics bark for stage time. You may have seen them in Times Square handing out free passes. They hand out those passes, and then they get stage time, which they don't get paid for. Other comics do what they call bringer shows. They have to bring 10 to 15 friends. They fill up the club. The club makes a lot of money. The comics don't get paid for that. So we come up through this system of servitude, where we're so grateful for any stage time, and that kind of carries on even to the professionals, where we're always kind of, you know, walking on eggshells. But we're trying to break that mentality and say, you know what, we're the best comics in the world at the best clubs in New York City. We deserve to be compensated.
Chesley,
we get $8 and a swift kick to the groin for a great show. So
that's right.
We're usually thankful for that.
What do you get for a bad show?
A bad show? Just blacklisted, you know. I mean, it's down south, so there's a lynch mob mentality.
Well, Ted, Alec, I wanted to thank you for calling, Chesley, and hope that your running speed is getting up to keeping in practice there.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate taking my call.
Good luck with
your
career.
Keep up the good fight.
Career.
Bye.
Ted Alexandro, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Neil. Thank you so much, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Can I mention, Neil, our website, NewYorkComediansCoalition.com?
Yes, and answer quickly a question. Is this just New York, or you have visions of making an international?
Well, you know what? It's funny you mention that, because the story has broken on three continents. We saw that it was picked up in the UK as well as Australia. So the story's out there, and I've been receiving emails from comedians overseas. So who knows where this may lead? I would love it. But for right now, we don't want to bite off more than we can chew. We're keeping it focused on the best in the world, New York City.
Thanks very much again.
Okay, thank you, Neil.
Ted Alexandro joined us by phone from New York City. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here with a little bit more detail on what it's like to be a stand-up comic these days, an up-and-comer, Alan Corey joins us. He's now a real estate investor, a struggling stand-up comedian on the side. He's with us by phone from his mom's house in Atlanta. I assume you're there for the holidays and not for refuge.
Yeah, my comedy success has brought me to my mom's kitchen.
Is it true when you're just starting out as a comedian, you, as we were hearing, you have to pay the club to let you perform?
Yeah, well, Ted touched upon, you pay them in forms of work. You know, you could bark, you try to get people inside, or a lot of clubs you pay $3 to get 5 minutes of stage time, you pay $5, or you have to buy a beer, you know, just to get up on stage for 3 or 4 minutes. And, of course, the spot you get will be really, really early in the show before anyone shows up, or really late in the show when everyone's left. So I think it's like become a disservice almost to the audience, because I've known a lot of several comedians who had to move on and get real lives and like support their families and get, you know, full-time jobs because, you know, comedy just wasn't paying the bills.
Maybe they weren't funny.
Well, there's a lot of those people too, but I mean it's it's a shame. Like, the ones you miss, of course, are the ones that are really funny, and you wish they didn't, you know, have to go, you know, to a 9-to-5 job or travel or, you know, for other types of work. But, yeah, you're right. So some people are, but, you know, sometimes people say the headliners aren't funny either, so.
Well, let's get another caller on the line. Trevor's with us from South Bend, Indiana.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a former comedian. I can completely relate to what your most recent caller was just saying about having to find a 9-to-5 job. I had to leave the job about 6 years ago because there just wasn't any money in it.
How much money did you make in a year?
I'd say probably, as a comedian, the best I ever did was probably $12,000.
That's not enough to keep body and soul together, is it?
No, it certainly isn't, especially if you're supporting a family. So I'm now in the furniture business, and I'm very in favor of trying to unionize or organize, because my wife is involved in the bricklayers union, so any kind of unionization I'm definitely in favor of.
Or she may be making a few more walls for people to stand in front of as well. Do you tell jokes in your current job?
No, not so much. In fact, I'm pretty much just deadpan in my current job, but I'm looking to get back into it.
Okay, Trevor, good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
What about you, Alan Corey? We said you're a real estate investor now. Do you use comedy in your job?
Well, not so much, but I kind of want to touch on what that last caller was just saying. My first 2 years in comedy, I actually lost money because I found, living in New York City, the jobs that paid me anything were the ones that were outside the city, you know, New Jersey or upstate New York. And so I would have to pay to go travel to these gigs, and the money that I was paid wouldn't even cover my travel expenses.
And we're not talking about health care benefits or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that's unheard of. And then, of course, you come across shady bookers and club owners who just, you know, end up not paying you or give you the runaround. So it's really, you know, out of control, and I really you know, look forward to what Russ and Ted can achieve with this coalition. I think everyone should join forces as much as possible.
Did you have an agent who took 15% of your loss?
Well, that gets to the point once you're headlining. I did not have an agent, but yeah, I wouldn't have had an agent very long if he was paying for me to do shows rather than making money for him.
Mm-hmm. Let's get one more caller in. This is Jeff, who's with us from Dayton, Ohio.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I started doing comedy, just started doing open mics 8 months ago, and now I'm starting actually to get paid to do just MC spots because I don't have enough material yet. I'm pretty new. And I just have two comments on this. Really, first, it's sort of ironic that you're talking about this because it definitely hits home. But I'm a college student that started doing it really because I love comedy, but also because in the back of my mind it was always, hey, I could use the extra money. So, there's two clubs in Dayton, really, and one of them for an MC spot will pay up about $200 for the week for five shows, Thursday through Sunday. The other one pays $150. That's the first comment. The second one is, it almost on some level, from the standpoint of the love of the craft, I would love to see, it almost, when people do go commercial, a lot of times you see, you know, when people get huge and make a lot of money, you see people, you know, their comedy start to dwindle. So on some level, it's sort of, I almost like to see people stay hungry.
Jeff, a few mixed emotions there. And Alan Corey, can you give us a response in a couple of seconds because we're running out of time?
Yeah, sure. I just want to say, well, everyone says comedy comes from tragedy. So maybe just living this life of poverty will make you, inspire you to write funnier jokes.
Alan Corey, there should be a TV sitcom with your name on it in the near future.
All right. Thanks.
Good luck. Alan Corey, a real estate developer and a struggling stand-up comedian on the side, joined us by phone from his mom's house in Atlanta. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.